Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All of us at Podcast One want to say thank you for listening to this show. We would also like to ask a small favor of you. It'll take less than 10 minutes, and if you're one of the first few people to fill out the survey, we'll give you something for your time. We would like you to complete a short survey for us to help make things better around here. Just go to listeningsurvey.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's listeningsurvey.com. The first 125 people to go and complete this survey will get a $10 gift certificate to restaurant.com, and there is a chance to win an additional $100 Amazon gift card. Filling out the survey will really help us out. Go to listeningsurvey.com, and thanks for listening.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the host of Cash Cab, Ben Bailey. With Gina Grad on news and a new recipe in Eat Your Feelings, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and RJ Bell calls in with his Week 11 NFL picks. And now, Florida elections are fucked up again. Your move, Germany. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Fucking loser.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Coming in hot right off the top.
Cruising for a bruising.
Jeez.
All right. Let's see. We're excited to play Cash Cab. Is it Cash Cab?
Yeah.
The show.
Yeah, we're playing that today, and we're all going to team up and play together. We're going to join forces. I feel Brian's got a very good background for this. Gina and I bring something to the table as well. I feel very confident
for the cab ride.
In our chances.
It's general trivia, and when you play along at home, it's much easier. But when we're in that cab, things are going to heat up.
As one who's been on and won a game show or two, it helps to know the format. You know, like strategically, you'll do better at a game show. It'll feel a Fortune, Jeopardy, whatever, if you understand the format really well. Mm-hmm. Gina and I have watched many episodes of Cash Cab.
We're fans.
Both together and alone.
Right.
And so we're familiar with the format.
Well, it's hard to turn it on and switch. And part of it is there's nothing better than a good format. But it's trivia. When they do trivia, we as human beings are drawn into it, and it's a simple answer. And in one of those shows that I'll watch car shows, and they'll go, the Dodge Coronet was invented in 1967, 1968, or 1969. We'll be right back with that answer. And I don't even care about a Dodge Coronet. I'll go, it's 68. I know it, my soul, it's 68. And then I'll just sit there and have to wait.
Right.
So that's how we're wired.
I just hope we win the money before we get to Central Park.
We got a lot of bases covered amongst our base, no pun intended, bases of knowledge. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we got a lot of, from pop culture to sports to, you know,
menstrual cycles.
Stuff, everything.
That's right.
All
that. Mm-hmm.
Adam knows a lot about that.
Right.
Yep. All right. So had a thought. Let's see. I went to Kimmel's birthday party last night. That was fun. I had a thought about, I'm always trying to kind of figure out the sort of general everything in life. And I was watching SportsCenter when I got home last night, and they were showing, oh, they've moved the Rams game from Mexico City to the Coliseum because the turf is bad. And I guess they had a couple of soccer games and a Shakira concert or something, yeah. And whatever. They got a little over their donkeys over there. I was going to say skis, but no one skis in Mexico. So they got a little over their burros over there, and the sod's all screwed up, and they're trying to scrape it up. And then I guess it becomes this sort of thing where it's like when a paint job gets screwed up, and you go, we got to fix it, but it's not really dry, but you try sanding it, and now it gets gooed up, and now it's actually worse.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what happens with these fields. But either way, they're moving it. Mm. And it's also a weird world where they go, hey, safety of the players. Well, first off, they're all trying to kill each other.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Even when they're playing on AstroTurf, they're all attempting to kill each other.
I'm going to
run
guy's head, but I want to be safe when I do it.
Right. Number two, the first half of the season is played half on a baseball diamond and half on a grass field if you're in many parts of the country. Mm. So that feels a little inconsistent to me. The other hand thing is, if it starts pouring, they'll never stop the game ever, no matter how hard it rains, unless there's lightning involved. Yeah. So this thing where it's like they have to play on a less than perfect field. But I do get the part of, well, when you're going with the Giants, I think the Giants, well, it used to happen this way with the Giants and the 49ers. I feel like back in the day, didn't
Candlestick?
It? Yeah.
Candlestick?
Yeah.
And it overlap in September.
And the Rams, when they were in Anaheim, would do this with the Angels.
It's crazy that it's 2018 and we're still doing it with the Raiders. It's crazy. There's a professional football team.
It drives me nuts.
Worth $1 billion.
It drives me nuts.
On a baseball diamond.
It drives me nuts. And the worst part is like,
I used to play soccer.
He's setting up for a field goal. Oh, his plant foot slipped on the infield. Like he
on the diamond.
He hit a rosin bag. It's crazy. Like he hit the rubber. He hit the rake that was left out by the grounds guy. Like, it's so weird. It's like his plant foot just slid because it's on dirt.
And I'm from the Bay Area, and I have friends who are Raiders fans, and I feel for all the hardcore fans who, like, really want the team to stay. But it's like, then you look at, like, they're playing on a baseball diamond. Like, maybe they should go to Vegas.
Also,
maybe they should be in Las Vegas.
I always, and it's this. This is the other part that drives me nuts is I go, look, what part of a baseball field is the dirt part of the diamond? And I don't know, Max Zapata, you can look it up. It varies. It varies from field to field. But like when I think about the dirt part of a baseball field, I think of it as 30% of the baseball field. Maybe it's 25. I don't know. It's not above 50.
If you count the outfield, it's way less, yeah.
I am counting the outfield. I'm counting the whole thing. It's way less. Why is it 90% of where the game is played in a football game? Like, how does it... The football field is 300 feet long and 50 yards wide. Why is every snap and every crucial kick take place in the dirt?
Right there in the middle.
It drives me nuts.
We're in the middle of the field.
Well, how can you look if
your logo would be painted?
If you're Mexico, you got to go. Come on, assholes! You play your first seven games on this shit. What are you complaining to us about? Now, I guess there's an element of like planting your foot and having the sod slide out.
Yeah,
and okay, fine.
But with so many regulations in Major League Baseball and basketball and football, this doesn't bother anybody.
It bothers the shit out of me and Brian.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, but the people who are in charge who are obsessed with regulations, that's not a problem.
No. They got to make money.
I've been yelling for years that first things first. If you're team has been mathematically eliminated baseball-wise, then we're covering it with grass and have fun playing on the grass. And if you don't like it, try winning a few more games next year, idiots. See, let this be an incentive.
Yeah.
Let this be your scarlet sod letter hanging around your neck.
We can look this up, and I hate to crap on your point, but I think the A's were in it this year to the end.
No, they were. Oh, yeah. I did.
Okay.
I did look this up, and they were. And if you're in contention, well, then okay.
So be it.
So be it. But there's still other teams and other times in history where this has gone on, where the team was 27 games out of first place, and they're still playing on the dirt, or the football team still playing on the dirt for the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 games or whatever it
all
is.
All of September.
Why is it okay for football players to play in the pouring rain and baseball players go sit on the bench and have a cocoa while they cover the field?
I think the notion is it doesn't affect the game. In baseball, the game can't be played. I guess
if the ball gets wet, then you're going to kill somebody.
Yeah, but they...
You're going to throw it, it's going to slip and you'll get their head.
All right.
Or something. It's just, I don't know. And also, it's kind of a pussy sport versus a dude sport. Sure. I mean, it's origins.
Gotcha.
But, so anyway, I was thinking about the Rams. I was thinking about this. And then somebody said, I think the Rams are in, they're not in Denver, but they're in some high altitude training place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They
and
so Colorado Springs or something.
Yeah, they're in Colorado Springs. Something they're not like at that. Home. Something they're like not at home. No. And then I thought, oh, what are they doing? And I thought, oh, they're doing altitude training for Mexico City, which mm-hmm. is probably higher than even Denver, I think.
Wow.
It's very high in the altitude department. And then I realized, oh, yeah, I guess you have to acclimate or practice or whatever. And then I started thinking about my list of things that affect people. Like, some people get car sick, some people get air sick, some people get seasick. And then there's the part where, like, I could remember when we went to Aspen for the comedy festival, and they were like, oh, be careful. Like, you'll drink one beer, it'll be like drinking a pony keg. Like, you'll be this, you'll be that. You'll drink a Miller Lite, you'll get lightheaded, you know, whatever. And then I went to Aspen, I fucking drank a ton, and I had there was no different. I think Jimmy threw up in the elevator when we were in Aspen.
Nice.
And then I also realized, well, Jimmy gets seasick and he gets air sick. And then I realized that some people just have this sort of internal gyroscope that is easily sort of jostled or knocked off its perch, and I don't have one of those gyroscopes. And then I started thinking, but it's not a specific thing. It's not like, well, I get sick at altitude, but Jimmy gets air sick. It's all kind of part and parcel of the same gyroscope. Some people, it's like your stomach. Some people are like, I can't have spicy food. Other people eat all the spicy food they want. It's not because they're smarter. In my case, it's better, but it's not always that. It's just a kind of a wiring, and I wonder, for me, I think it's across the board for everything. I think it has to do with allergic reactions, or I think it has to do with altitude. I think it has to do with seasick or car sick or any of the normal stuff that people feel like when they go, oh man, like, oh, those fires, man, when the winds kicked in and those fires, oh, I was knocked on my ass. My bronchioles were closing up. And I was like, I don't notice the difference.
There was
between
a fire?
Anything?
This might surprise you about me, but I'm almost the exact same way when it comes to the, like, for example, never gotten seasick, never gotten car sick, went to a bachelor party recently, like 2 years ago in Whistler, Canada, up where they had the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this would be great. I'm gonna pay for 2 beers. It's gonna feel like tit. Nothing.
Wow.
Like that. I went through, how long did I go through chemo for? A year or whatever? Never threw up once.
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. And I don't think it counts that I get car sick, because the one and only time in my life I got car sick, it was because August was driving too fast and fucking crazy during through Napa.
That was pretty
and
cool.
I held on to Brian's arm. I was like, I got to throw up. I got to get out of here.
The happiest day of my life.
It's kind of interesting. Now, then you wonder, like, well, how much of this is physical. Mexico City is 2,000 feet higher than Denver, so it's way up there. So there's a couple things. You go, well, how much of this is physiological versus mental? And you go,
I'm a coward, so it must be physiological.
How do you measure the physiological part of it, though? What do you mean you're different? You know, how do we, something with your inner ear, mm-hmm. your brain, like, what's going on, and why altitude and then motion? What's the difference? How do you correlate the altitude and the seasickness? And then you wonder, and then you, I'd like to get some funding for a study, which is like, look,
listen up, grant writers.
And listen, all the guys are currently hammering checks that want to know the effects of a couple of glasses of red wine a day. Fuck you. Give me that money.
Yep.
You guys have been studying this shit for 40 years.
We either figured it out or we
didn't. You've been going back and forth for 40 years. Fine. Give me that money. We get it. Two's fine. But you drink the whole barrel of wine. It's not. Yeah. We got it.
Is that
we got
a problem?
It. We got it. Please, anyone who gives me the, hey, if you want to have a little dessert every once in a while, that's fine. But if you eat two pies in your sleep, that's not, you will put weight on. Like, yes, I, yeah,
fuck,
no shit, Sherlock. Yeah, where's my, I want to fucking do a show called Let Me Get My Steno Pad, asshole. Like, of course. Of course, hey, and it's always like, hey, you want a glass of wine with the meal? That's fine. What the meal's breakfast,
sure,
bitch.
Sure.
Okay.
You break open the cask with an axe like it.
Right.
That's going to be a problem.
That's going to be a problem. The fuck was I? Okay.
I'll set you back.
Yes.
I just remembered once, this is maybe 8 years ago, I forgot about this. I went to the doctor, ear, nose, and throat guy, because I had earwax buildup, and I couldn't hear out of one ear.
You got to get the gun to shoot it out.
He sucked it out, and it was gross. And then, whatever, okay, thanks for doing that. As soon as I got home, as soon as I got out of the car, wave of nausea. The most intense nausea I've ever felt as an adult, because my inner ear had been fucked with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's a thing.
And it passed within about 8 seconds, but it was like, for a second, like, oh my God, I'm as sick as I'm ever going to be. And like, oh, thank God that passed.
And that's why they say adults don't like those kind of rides at amusement parks, because your inner ear lining thins out. The water in your ear thins out. Kids have apparently a thick inner ear lining, love the, you know, the loop-de-loop stuff, but we can't take it as we get older.
Interesting. Let me say this then, and let's see if we can figure this one out amongst our crew, but also amongst you listening, and you can tweet me when you figure this out. I'm going to pose this, and I'm also going to look for other corollaries, I guess you'd call them. First, I want to thank Quicken Loans at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. SimplySafe.com/Adam. BetOnline.ag. Enter the code podcast1 and cash real edge. Titanium Strong for maximum energy performance. Corollary things. Being a good passenger versus being a nervous passenger. Being startled, like if a car backfires down the street and that's a wiring. I know there's people I work with that are jumpy.
Interesting.
Rob at the other shop is jumpy. Olga is jumpy. Olga, if you're listening, in terms of accusing me of sneaking up on you, it's my fucking house. I can't sneak up on anyone.
Possible.
It's my house. It's like, you're stealing your own money. No, I'm not, because it's mine. So when I startle you when you're at the kitchen standing at the sink, it's my house.
I was meant to be here.
I'm grandfathered into this fucking house, so stop accusing me of walking so quiet. By the way, I love being accused of being graceful. But she's like, but
Lies.
I will. I'll come walking up on her, and I'll get 20 feet, and I'll go like, woo-hoo, or whatever, because if I get too close, she'll go, aye! And then she'll like start, why you do that to me? And I'm like, I'm going to the fucking kitchen. What do you want me to do?
Yoo-hoo!
Go full Dick Van Dyke, one-man band on your ass? Like, I'm walking to my kitchen, and you are in my kitchen. You happen to be, your back is turned to me.
What am
I supposed to do about that?
Sure, me sweet.
That's right. So I get accused of that. So I will make little noises. Rob, the chef, he gets it too. Like, he'll just be sitting somewhere coming through a door, and I'll come through, and I'll give him a little heads up. But are the people that are bad passengers or who get startled easily, or I'm trying to think of some other sort of built-in kind of tendencies, are these the people that have trouble, who get seasick, who have trouble at altitude, who spicy food doesn't agree with them or whatever? Is there any correlation between just sort of that wiring?
You should
check
with Rob, because I am absolutely not that. I'm on the one end with the stomach and the on the nausea and everything, the extreme end. But I, especially in movies, I'm the easiest to jump scare. If there's a bang or a loud noise or a sting, you know what I mean? Like, like a scary sting, you know what I mean? With a... I run away. I jump.
I feel it internally, but do you physically?
I physically jerk.
Yeah, and I think I'm sort of the prime example of this, because the spicy foods and the coffee and all that, I can't have it. It does not work for my GI tract, and I am super jumpy. I think, like, I'm a pretty good passenger. I mean, you guys have been in plenty of cars with me. I'm pretty quiet, keep to myself. But in general, I think I have a higher sensitivity to stuff. So I think that sort of blankets everything. I've become a good flyer. I've become a good passenger because I had to be because we traveled so much. So I just learned.
Mike drives.
Well, except if Mike's driving. But I do think in general, I rev a little higher in the sensitivity.
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, like we went trick-or-treating with one of the little kids on Halloween. And there's a little seventh grader sitting there with a bowl of candy with a scary face on and his face is down. And the little one we were with was too scared to go up to him. So I was like, I'll get it for him. I reach into the bowl. The kid screams in my face. And I jump 3 feet in the air and scream back at him. And it's fun, you know.
Sight.
But that's the thing, like, I'm okay with it. I think, it was fun and funny and but whatever. But I'm very sensitive to that kind of stuff.
Well, you missed, by the way, the all-time car ride was with Dr. Drew and his wife and Mike August. And that was going from, God, where to, like... God, we were in like New Hampshire or something, and we're going to like the Hamptons or something. I have no idea where we were.
Was your wife
a romantic double date with the four of you?
It's a strange.
It was a crazy thing, but
it was East Coast.
Dr. Drew's wife, Susan Pinsky.
I've flown with Susan.
She fucking yells "slow down" to everybody. That drives me nuts. Like I got into an Uber with her and Drew once, or a cab or something. We're like going to the airport, and the guy got about 8 feet away from where we got in the car, and she's like "slow down." I'm like, "Would you shut up? We'll never get to the fucking airport now." And I was like yelling, "Don't slow down, speed up! I want to get to where I'm going." Yeah. Ugh. People, you got to take a vote before you just yell at the driver to slow down. That's you.
Christy's mom, when she's in the passenger seat and the dad's driving, every time the brakes hit, she'll grab the dash.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bad passenger.
Something that I've begging my mom in this stage in her life, she's got to stop doing if she drives with me. I don't know where
it's
started.
Alarming.
But anytime there's even a hint of like I should brake first, you know, or there's someone behind me, I get this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that to me while I'm driving. I'm sorry. Why?
My dad doesn't talk, but I see him working the brake pedal.
Yeah.
That the imaginary brake pedal.
The driver's ed brake pedal.
On the passenger side. And I'm always like, that's tip of the cap. It means I'm moving along at a brisk
pace.
Yeah,
that's right. Got a clip.
Also, I haven't brought this up in a million years, but my dad is one of those guys who, and he's probably not going to drive anymore, but he didn't. The people that don't understand these following words, follow me. You look back and they're 300 yards back and then you're like, oh, fuck, they missed the signal. And now you're just pulled over on Ventura and there's someone honking at you. And you're like, I'm going to pull into the 7-Eleven parking lot until the signal changes. Like, would you please follow the person?
Will that be a vestige of the past now with Waze and Google Maps?
Yes.
Like the follow me thing is gone.
There's follow me. Person, there is literalist follow me, which is we're going to get on the 5 and we're going to Magic Mountain and we're in Glendale and I moved over one lane and you cut off a school bus trying to bump draft me. We're nowhere near the exit. Like I meant like, you know, keep me in sight. And then there's the ones that let way too many cars slide in between you on the surface street. I just feel like there's a balance of follow me that should be taught in driver's ed, but again, unnecessary.
Thing of the past.
With Waze. All right, let me tell you about Simply Safe. Funny, I was at Kimmel's last night, and he spent 20 minutes talking about earwax and having it removed.
How gross. And how odd.
How odd. Simply Safe. Big fan of Simply Safe Home Security. It's prepared for everything. If a storm takes out your power, if the phone line gets cut, keypad gets destroyed, Simply Safe is ready. They'll get you the help you need. Maybe you don't need to be ready for the worst case scenario, but that's what makes Simply Safe great. It's always ready. It's like lunch meat, man. It is always ready. $14.99 a month, no contracts, no hidden fees. We all have it here. We all use it here. And I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years, up and running in under an hour. Just order your custom security system online. Shows up at your door a couple days later and you're ready to go. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Two eyes in there. Simplysafe.com/Adam. RJ Bell's on.
We do have to hear about the party at some point.
The party,
well,
yeah.
The earwax specifically.
Yeah, specifically the earwax.
Well, it's funny. I was telling Jimmy, I said, remember a million years ago, like right after, shortly after we met, Jimmy was in love with that candling. Put the candle in your ear.
Oh, the cone?
The cone, the coning or the candling coning. Or you put the cone through a paper plate and you'd put the thing through and then you'd light it and you'd lay on your side and hear all this crackling. It's like, that's drawing the ear. That's drawing the earwax. Yeah. It liquefies the earwax and pulls it up and burns it. It's like the most satisfying sounding thing on the planet until you realize... I think at some point we just set the thing in a glass and lit it and like made the same sound and did the same thing and it never did. But there was like 10 minutes in 1996 and a half when this was like the hottest thing around. Yeah. But
I'm going to get sucked out by a doctor or a whore.
Yes. And anyway, but less than 24 hours ago, Jimmy's explaining how much he loves pulling shit out of his ear.
Oh, boy.
And that he likes to keep it, you know, collect and trade and stuff like that.
Fair. Where was the party? Who were the celebrities?
Who
I feel like you're really holding out on
earwax?
Us. Yeah.
It was low-key, was all the usual suspects, and it wasn't celebrity-laden.
It wasn't Seth MacFarlane's sweater-making station.
No. But let's see. Jason Bateman showed up at some point, and Jennifer Aniston showed up at some point as well.
Did you talk to her about being in Dumplin', the new Dolly Parton movie?
Oh, no. But she's always so sweet, and we talked for a little bit. We happened to be on a weird subject about...
weird earwax?
Yeah. We did... Me and a smaller group did about 40 minutes on who's been probed anally, and everyone seemed to have a story, and then I was explaining a story involving Mike August, and all above the board, you know what I mean?
Sure. Mm.
And then the gal I was with said, oh, well, he for sure came, right? And I said, I don't know. He left that part out of the story because it was kind of a medical procedure. And she was like, he definitely came.
Oh my.
And so I said,
never pictured Jennifer Aniston to say that.
Well, she didn't. Oh, okay. Someone else did. And then I said, well, I'm going to check into it. Oh. But I spent a lot of time with Mike. I feel like he's a pretty open book. We talked about he had to have like an alignment or procedure that involved a digit drop down there.
Okay.
And so his friend and my friend was saying, oh, he definitely came. I don't know. I think he would have told me like just sort of digitally, okay. like he got milk,
like milk the prostate.
Something. Yeah.
Road trip.
And anyway, then when I was leaving, Jennifer Aniston was hanging around with the same group, and my friend said, you talk to Mike, you get the answer. And I'm like, I will. I think you're wrong. She's like, I bet you're wrong. And then Jennifer went, what are you guys talking about?
No,
I was like,
no.
Well,
it's a bit of a long
story. It's a long story, but it's kind of interesting. So if you're up for it. So that was an interesting conversation to have.
Good.
All right. RJ Bell is on the line. Let's see. RJ's parlays. Oh, we got an intro.
Hey,
RJ?
Hey, Adam, real quick, though, very important. Mm. Mike August said it was an involuntary response.
Yes, so. I will ask him. I have a text to ask him. I'll talk to him. 2-0 last week, right?
Yeah.
That's right, baby.
And back to 60% winning percentage. Yeah, I talked to... Cousin Sal last night as well, and he's basically, I says, you go, you know, you're going 12-10, you're in the money. Like, that's the people have some sort of weird pie in the sky. You got to run the table like every week. It's not the way it works.
No. For some of us.
I want to ask you about Mexico City and the relocation change, and people are speculating, at least on SportsCenter last night, this is going to hurt the NFL, it's going to hurt the international, whatever. Like, I don't know. What's your take on the breaking news about the Rams, the biggest game of the season thus far, moving venues?
I think it's going to hurt the Rams. And one of my picks, so we'll do an early little insight into it, Kansas City +3.5. And here's the theory. So I was actually in L.A. for the weekend for Fox Sports Radio, and obviously you guys know as well as anyone the fires, and not only the people who are involved, but the people, almost everyone in town knows somebody in the area. At minimum, huge distraction, and it was for the Rams. And it's kind of funny to say life and death is a distraction, and that isn't the way to say it. But when you look at it from a game, I think a big distraction for the Rams. Now they played a tough game on Sunday against Seattle, right? So now you had distraction, tough game.
The person I was talking, well, first off, yes, and Matt Fondalier's parents had to be evacuated. Many of his friends' homes burned down. That's my assistant. My money manager, who's right in the middle of trying to secure some loan for me, and the loan person had to be evacuated from the homes. Erin, the girl I was talking to last night about Mike being milked, she had to move. She had to be evacuated with her husband as well and actually stayed with Jimmy.
Jesus.
So this thing is... I had no idea how many people I knew in that area.
Yeah.
But so many people I know have had to move. So this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, are you willing to pay 2 points a week for a loan if you need it?
Yeah.
Because I know somebody.
Well, I'm getting close to that. So the Rams, back to why this is going to hurt the Rams. Sorry.
Yeah, so listen, McVay is a brilliant coach, the Rams coach. So the Mexico City game, as intended to be played there, is at altitude, very high altitude. And the sports guys have done a lot of advanced research on this. They know if you're at altitude for about a week, you get acclimated to it, and that helps you play the game. So the Rams had already flown out to Denver to practice for the week before Mexico City. Now the venue's changed. They're having to fly back. So this is a situation, fatigue from all the stuff with the fire. Now making a trip halfway across country and back with no real purpose, I think it's a huge negative for the Rams in the game this Sunday.
Wouldn't they have to fly anyway from Denver to Mexico City as opposed to Denver back home?
No, true enough, but you got Kansas City hadn't gone anywhere. So now Kansas City will be at home, and they were home last week, and make one trip to L.A., whereas the Rams went from Los Angeles to Denver, now back to L.A., and now the Rams are getting home field advantage. So you're right, is if you just compared Kansas City and the Rams, the difference is not all that much, though it is one trip halfway across the country extra. But it's supposed to be an advantage to be home. So the line was 2.5 when the game was in Mexico City. Now it's up to 3.5. So the Rams are getting home field advantage in the marketplace, Brian, but I don't think they deserve it because they've had to travel even more.
Okay.
What is, I was laughing to myself the other night, I can't think of the name of the KC coach.
Andy Reid.
Andy Reid. You got to find... Take your time, expat. The right picture of Andy Reid and the right picture of Sean McVay. And I'd love to put it up and go, which one of these guys coaches an L.A. team and which guy coaches the Kansas City team? I'll let you guys think about it. Just take a look at the fat guy in the snowmobile jumpsuit and then the guy with the moose in his hair with the Don Johnson beard. Now, who hosts the Los Angeles team? No hope. No coaches better represent who they're. One guy is like, Andy, could you put the rib down so we could take the picture? And the other guy's like, could you get off your Victoria's Secret model? So we could take the picture. Like I just thought, I love it when a coach looks like Bill Cowher was like the Steelers. Like he's always like
not since Bum Phillips had the hat.
Right, right. the Houston Oilers.
That's right.
So
have you ever seen the picture of Andy Reid when he was like 13 and the punt, pass, and kick? It was in an NFL stadium, and he was like 6 foot tall.
He's a monster.
And the people he was competing against were like 5'4".
No,
he's
but
like a 6 foot tall 13-year-old.
I have. Oh my God!
That's the same age.
That's amazing.
He's a ram, and he's standing amongst dwarves. The punt, pass, and kick. Can I tell you this? I am so goddamn nostalgic for punt, pass, and kick. And we can, you know, forget about fucking Beyonce shaking her fucking moneymaker. I want to go back to, I told these guys, I like the jetpack guy. I like the martial artist who's going to break the blocks of ice guy, and I'm now back with punt, pass, and kick. I love that. It's how far combined you could punt it, pass it, and kick it. They just keep adding it on, and whoever, I don't know, the record must be, you know, 141 yards done by some 12-year-old.
Andy Reid, 1981.
Yeah. Crazy, right? So, RJ, sorry. How big a fuck-up is this for Mexico, and how's this going to affect dealing with the NFL and next year, and what did they do wrong, and how did this play out?
Well, we project there's an additional 10% chance the wall now will be built due to this.
Oh, I love a prop bet.
Now, you know, to me, I think the NFL is going to have almost Terminator-like will to go international. Because obviously, as the socioeconomic standing of the rest of the world increases, and there's a bigger chunk of the world that can buy a sports ticket, and look at Kobe in Asia, look at Yao Ming, obviously, years ago now in Asia, and the NBA's ability to be a worldwide sport is the thing that has some people saying, Adam, that the NBA will be the biggest sport in America or American sport internationally in 20, 30 years. Think about baseball. I mean, you're a little bit older than me, but we remember in the 70s the thought that baseball wasn't going to be the best sport or the biggest. Didn't make sense. It was like, this is the biggest sport, and it wasn't 20 years later, it wasn't.
Well,
that's what the NFL is afraid of.
If you think of it, so here's how it works. You know, we have 300 plus million people, and we look at ourselves like we're the end all and be all, but it's just human beings. It's putting the fannies in seats, buying tickets and stuff. You have China with a billion, I don't know, 0.7 or whatever, I don't even know what China is. Are they 2 billion or whatever? You go to Asia and you're into the billions, right? Well, we're in the millions and they're in the billions, and they're just human beings who eat and buy things and jerseys and stuff like that. So, of course, but here's the thing, and here's the difference between baseball going huge, Asia, China and beyond, and football going huge, and NBA, huge, China, beyond. Chinese and Asians, Japanese in general, they love giant black people. They fucking love giant black people.
I did not see it going
this direction. Oh, my God. This is the fucking God's honest. They're not interested in, what's his name, from the Astros, the lawn jockey from
Altuve.
From Nicaragua. They don't fucking care about that guy. He's a midget. He's the same height as them. They're not interested.
Brandon Crawford is a nice double play.
Yeah, nope. Sapp. What's that guy's, RJ, you know, Sapp, the world's giant, biggest man, went over there and fought like MMA and boxing. It's not Warren Sapp, but it's like a Michael Sapp or something.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not an expert, but yes.
When you find a picture of this guy, Sapp, here's the deal. You could be a giant black man. And you could live in the United States, and you could get a job working as a bouncer at a nightclub. I mean, if you weren't NFL car, or maybe you make the taxi squad or the practice squad on the Browns or something. Or you go to Japan and just fight people
as a
giant black man. Yep. And you will be. And by the way, all the women, all the food, all the money, they will carry
you around
is a giant black man.
Wow.
What is Bob Sapp? Sorry. You'll recognize the guy, 6'7", 350,
Jesus.
And built like a brick shit house. But he just went to Japan and went like, I am going to be the biggest, blackest man in a world of, you guys have little people and then big, fat people. We got big, big people and big, you got no black people. And so we're going to send our giant black people over there, and they will amaze you. They will thrill and amaze you.
He identified a market deficiency.
Yeah.
Well, look.
The market.
In a world where everyone's brunette, a blonde shall show up and rule. And if everyone's blonde, a brunette, I don't know. But either way,
we
got close. But that's how the world, that's how Asians work. They love that. So LeBron James and all these, you know, Karl Malone from the past, all these giant black men, it's such a novelty. And, you know, you go, you buy tickets to, not to go look in the mirror, to go see things you've never seen
Dennis
before.
Dennis Rodman thinks he's like really popular. No, you're just giant black.
Yes.
He thinks it's North Korea loves
me. What has Bob Sapp done? How long has he been there? And is he like cage fighting? He's like boxing. Like his skill level is like kind of limited, but yet he is a conquering hero there. Here, he just would be sort of a novelty who flamed out of the NFL or whatever. But anyway, so RJ.
Now, what's sort of analogous quickly is poker players, right? So here, the very best poker players are playing each other. But then there's this whole kind of circuit where quasi-famous players go to Macau and literally are there for years at a time because Asian businessmen are coming in playing in million-dollar games, and you don't hear from them or see them for over a year. Then they come back with bags of money. Yes. So it's sort of the Asian culture is attracting things they don't have, like famous poker players. So very similar.
We got to do an Asian cruise.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. We got to teach Bob Sapp how to play Texas Hold'em. Take over the Asian universe. All right, find me the Bob Sapp story, Max.
Yeah, I'm looking at him.
He was also not famously in, the Longest Yard with Adam Sandler. As well. Like,
that's right.
Done some like giant man acting where they need giant people.
Yeah.
But
that's the only requirement.
Bob Sapp could hang out here in Cleveland or Detroit and make 60 grand a year bouncing, or he could go to Japan and rule everything.
Yep.
And
easy choice.
Yeah.
So I think everything I say sounds like a joke to everyone. I'm not kidding. Baseball does not have this element. Basketball has this element, and so does football. So
yeah, he let's see, he's been in he's a huge star there. Commercials, TV shows, arcade games, action figures, sex toys, and even has a music album that went viral.
Don't blow past sex toys.
I have a question about one of those.
Yes.
The arcade figure?
Action figures?
I combine my action figure with the sex toy.
He's fought a bear in Japan on TV. Like,
of course.
How much fucking money has that guy made?
It's amazing.
I want to hear some of his music, by the way. Still better than.
Oh, no, don't put that up.
Still better
That's
than
racist.
DJ Khaled.
Oh, no.
That's racist.
Oh, he's holding a banana and looking.
Yeah, it's a Japanese snack.
He's looking very minstrelly.
Yeah. Well, also, they're kind of down with that, too, I think.
Oh, the casual racism?
Do they find it charming, or do they find it racist?
Well, I mean,
what's the vibe?
Well, first off, when's the last time you saw Speed Racer? Everyone's eyes are the size of saucers. Like, mm-hmm. Their version of, here's what white people look like, massive round eyes.
80% eyes on the face.
Black people, they have bananas because they live in the jungle. Jesus. Like, they are, that's kind of who they are. To be fair to them and to us, we have our own version of that, you know, and every John Hughes movie when
Long
Duck Gong, you know, like na 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 na, you know, like all that time. Yeah. I think that's what everyone does. Everyone does. Look, we don't look at it because they're white, but German, oh, beer steins and lederhosen, you know, it's all the same.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day, stuff. Cinco de Mayo, like right. we should be so high and mighty.
We're going to hear Bob Sapp rap or sing.
It's called Bob Sapp time.
Kind of rapping. I don't know what this is.
Now you're turning into the beast. That's right. Channel 81 on your FM dial.
Got the just to take your pink lady behind him, backup dancer.
Real I don't want to have to beat you up. 1, 2, 3. You
I kind of like this.
Never get in.
They're all Asian.
I don't mind this.
Listen, anybody black over 300 pounds who's listening to me right now, who's working their dead-end job at the Costco or couch surfing in between gigs, you get a one-way ticket to Asia right now and take over.
I don't mind this.
I don't mind it either. It's got a little living in Tokyo.
It's got a little uptown fun to it.
Yeah.
I am beast, what is how I stand.
man. Everybody knows that I'm a big man. Don't know defeat because I'm the best one yet. No opponents to fight. It's my only threat. Seattle is my hometown. But Japan superstar is also found. Don't worry because you will see. I trade a place with him. Now Japan has me.
All right.
You know, geez.
That's more than enough.
I'm enjoying it. All right. Well, there you go. Now, he, as big as he is, he couldn't come back here. He couldn't crack the starting lineup out of an NFL team or be a heavyweight champ in MMA. He could probably do some, for sure, some pro wrestling and stuff. But just go to Japan and take over.
Yeah. Be a damn hero.
He can put on a Steve Harvey suit and sing a song.
Mm-hmm. So it's coming.
Sap time.
Yeah. It's coming, man. And you're right. Basketball, football, that's going to be big. Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry, RJ.
Hey, I got something for you, but here's the deal. If you use it, lunch is on you next time.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready.
This is what you do. You write. You do a show rundown before your show, handwritten by you.
He's already out.
And it's going to be like 7 or 8 words, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And
why
then
so many?
On the left, that it's that. And on the right, it's the actual show, you know, what was talked about. And then you tweet that out, a picture of it. And it will be one of the most interesting things ever.
Yeah, there won't be a lot of... It's like my audio book. It was about 3 chapters of my book, and the rest was just me riffing about what was wrong with the studio. goddamn windsock on this goddamn microphone smells like shit.
So Aaron here.
Chapter 2.
All right, let's play our...
What's your next pick? Hold on.
Let's play our pick. Do we play our music yet?
It's time. RJ's Parlay with Vegas insider RJ Bell.
But have I ever been more writer-er than I am about Bob Sapp taking over Japan? I mean, that's where we're going.
I got to be honest with you. I'm a huge fan. I mean, being on the show is an honor. I love it. If I make you laugh once a week, I feel like that's probably my biggest accomplishment.
Well, you don't make me laugh, but you remind me of things that I thought of that make me laugh.
Let's be honest.
Hey, RJ, right? you can turn that into a career, man.
You should move to Japan. All right, let's do the picks.
All right, so we mentioned all the negatives for the Rams. Additionally, there's one more element, which is this wasn't supposed to be a home game. Who gets the tickets? Because the typical home field advantage, the season ticket guys, holders, aren't necessarily getting them. So they're talking about giving them potentially the Rams tickets to firefighters and such, which is a wonderful gesture. But how's that going to affect the crowd? I'm not sure. Kansas City is a very good road team. So first pick, Kansas City plus 3.5 points.
Yeah, as a Rams fan, I'm frightened of KC. And Rams... In L.A. in general, but Rams especially, sometimes you don't even know where you're playing. Like Seattle scores a touchdown, everyone goes nuts. Or in Dodgers, when Dodgers were playing in the World
Sox,
Series, the Red Sox, somebody hits a home run for the Red Sox, everyone goes nuts. And then like my wife comes in the room and goes, well, where are they playing? It's like, that's Dodger Stadium. Like with L.A.'s always that way. When the Rams played the Steelers in the Super Bowl here, Rams 79? From here, 79 played the Steelers. There were many more Steelers fans in the
so
Coliseum
sad.
Than there were, or the Rose Bowl, than we're here.
The
yes.
Rams have the second worst home field advantage in the NFL after the Chargers, of course. But it would seem like if there's one game that's going to work in their favor, it'd be this one, because there wasn't enough time for Chiefs fans, for the in-town ones, sure, but the out-of-town ones that want to travel make the plans to come to LA.
Well, also... In terms of expats, not the team, but there are tons of Patriots fans here. There are tons of Giants fans here. There's Seattle. There's
Steelers,
Cowboys.
Yeah.
Tons of Steelers. There's more. This couldn't hold true for any other city. All you need to know about while LA is a piece of shit is there are more Steelers bars here than there are Rams bars.
Sure.
And while there's no Little Italy, there's a Little Ethiopia. Anyone want to move here? I don't think so. That's all you need to know about our city. You could never say that about another city. Pittsburgh has Pittsburgh fan bars, and it has Little Italy's. God damn it. Sorry. What's your pick?
I blame Damashek for all that. It's
Damashek, but I blame him too. And also, you know what? I got no time for Damashek because he told me, he basically, I said to him, he said, have you seen... Nighthawks, Sylvester Stallone, 1981, and what's his name, Billy Dee, and whatever. And I was like, bits and pieces. And he gave the, oh my God, you're the guy who watches all the Stallone movies and Cobras and everything, and you haven't seen Nighthawks? And I was like, and I came on the other day, a couple nights ago, literally, and I turned it on. Super slow, not good, not novelty bad like Cobra and the rest of the over the tops and all this. Yeah. Not Stallone. Stallone's not parroting himself. He's just trying to be serious.
That's why the Cobras of the world are so special, because usually bad movies are just boring.
Yes, and
it's dull.
People don't. What people never really remember is 1981 was the 70s and like movie making.
Yep.
Like super, super slow. You're still in the previous decade when you're in the beginning of the other decades. Sorry, RJ, next pick.
Next pick, Thursday night special, Seattle at home Thursday night, hosting Green Bay. Remember, we talk about it often, Thursday night road teams, big disadvantage. Why? They only have half the time to prep. And the travel time's a bigger percentage of the overall prep time. Thus, it's a big disadvantage, and the results bear that out. Plus, Seattle, best home field in the NFL, unquestionably. And the crowd's going to be rocking primetime game. And it's below field goal, which presupposes Green Bay's better than Seattle. I don't think they are. So we're going to go with Seattle favored by 2.5 points. Pick number two.
I think that's a great pick. And who are there any two better 500 teams than Seattle and Green Bay? Aren't they both hovering around 500? And they're both like dangerous teams that are just right around 4-4-1 or 4-4-5 or 5-4. Like
Maybe, but yeah, there's a few teams that are hovering around there that could, you know, could bite you like a snake anytime, but you don't want to count them out.
Yes, I think the love affair we have with Aaron Rodgers has inflated Green Bay a little bit. Seattle, Russell Wilson is great. Seattle's great. They'll give anyone a hard time. If your team is playing Seattle, it's always be nervous, no matter how good your team is. And if you're playing in Seattle, be extra nervous. Are they both? What are they? What's Packers and Seattle's record, RJ?
Well, remember, Packers had to tie. So they're right. They're slightly above 500. They tied Minnesota. And, you know, I don't have Seattle's right in front of me, but it's at least 500, if not one game above. And remember, Seattle's played the Rams twice, two very good games, but, you know, Rams are one of the best teams in the league for sure, so that's a disadvantage. First half of the year, you're playing the Rams twice. So I think Seattle's underrated.
I do, too. And this Seattle's 4-5, and Green Bay is virtually the same at 4-4-1, so it's basically like a half game up on them. Good picks, RJ.
Yeah.
Awesome, guys. Hey, very fun, and I'll talk to you next week.
God love you. RJ Bell, pregame.com, by the way.
Gambler. RJ's Parlay.
All right, I'm going to do betonline.aj, and Gina's going to go work to heat her food up, but I think we'll break, and then we'll do eat your food. So you go eat your food up. I'll tell you about betonline.ag. We did it. We won the challenge for last week. Oh, that's right. Betonline.ag gave me credits. So five of you could win $100 in credits. All you have to do is send me a tweet using hashtag SportsNetChallenge and your account name. Five lucky listeners will find $100 in free credits in their account. So if you don't have a betonline.ag account yet, well, create one and send us your tweets. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget to use the promo code podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Thanks to betonline.ag, exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. That's betonline.ag. Okay, we'll take a quickie break. We'll come back. We'll do Eat Your Feelings with Gina Grad, and then we'll play some Cash Cab with Ben Bailey. All coming up next. Hey, kiddies. You dig hearing the sound of my nasally drone? You dig cars? Good. I got something called CarCast, and you can get it free on iTunes, or you can listen to it with the free Adam Carolla app. Also available on Android and iPhone. Go to acecarcast.com for more info. Again, it is me. It's Matt DeAndrea. It is all things cars. It is CarCast. Ooga.
chaka, ooga, 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 chaka, ooga, ooga.
She could not stop beating the sugar and the grains. Then our friend Betty helped her lose the weight she gained. Now she's cooking healthy meals at night, and ever since then her clothes aren't as tight. It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipe.
All right, I am very excited about this one. This one is one of my favorite things to make. When I'm feeling fancy and I'm cooking for other people, this is always a hit. So this is one of the best dishes that I like. This is chicken and shallots.
Mm.
And
it smells mapley.
Yeah, mapley, you say?
No, it's
interesting.
It's got a sweet smell to it.
And I want to thank, first of all and foremost, I want to thank ButcherBox because I use their boneless chicken thighs, and oh my God, it took it to another level. So this is an easy, never mind, it's not easy, nothing's easy, it was very complicated. The one thing that does make it easy, it's a one pot dish. So all you do is you melt the butter in an iron skillet, because that skillet's going in the oven. Let it foam up really nice. You're going to put about 12 shallots in, cut them in half, let them caramelize,
shallot,
let them get nice and sweet.
Is somewhere between an onion and a red onion, or a long onion or a green onion?
It's less pungent than an onion. It has a little bit, it's a little more mellow.
Mm-hmm.
And so you brown that up really nice. You put a little bit of Dijon mustard in it, a little fresh thyme if you have it, maybe some tarragon. Do you like it?
Mm.
Oh, God. And then you simmer with white wine. Now, I asked Vinny in advance, does this screw up the NSNG thing when you simmer something in white wine? He said no. So I'm very happy about that. Then you take the raw chicken, season it a little salt and pepper, and you put the raw chicken right in the skillet. You pop the whole thing in the oven for an hour, and it's done.
All done.
I really love making this. I made a little cauliflower mash with it just so there was some sort of little garnish. These are not potatoes. It kind of looks more like grits, but I just boiled some riced cauliflower, folded in some cream cheese, a little Parmesan, salt and pepper, and made a little cauliflower mash side dish. The chicken is courtesy of AlexandraCooks.com, and I love this recipe.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm starting to sound like a broken record here, but and poor Olga, because she's going to have to make this for me. But there is no reason to go back to anything in terms of carbs, or
right.
You know, there's no reason to veer off this highway. It satisfies.
Yeah, no one's going
to
be like, oh, I'm missing blank. Like this, mm-hmm. This is everything. It's savory. Was obviously chicken, so
yum.
It's juicy. And it's really well done.
Well, and thank you. The recipe says, you know, don't forget all that bread to sop up the sauce. And I was like, well, I want to sop up the sauce, so that's why I made the cauliflower mash. Just so
yeah,
it
let's
absorb.
Talk about that, because the difficulty in this. A spectrum of dieting to me. It's not how do we make steak taste good.
Right.
Or how do we make bacon yummy. Done and done. All the ways you do the chicken, mm-hmm. all the ways you do the protein, it's great, but I could go to Kookaroo and get some chicken breast or some thighs, and I would be satisfied.
I miss Kookaroo.
I would, and I feel like I could go to an Outback and
right.
get a steak. And it's the carb substitute.
Yeah.
That's the tall order in this game, because again, I love chicken. I love the protein anyway. You had me anyway, mm-hmm. but. When it comes to cauliflower versus spaghetti, now there's a chasm there.
Well,
and
yeah.
So I want to drill down on what is the carb substitute of on this mix. The chicken is excellent. The shallots are excellent. Everything's excellent. But to me, it's always excellent. Well, the carb, the cauliflower, let's focus on that
sure.
for 1 second.
Sure, and I'm with you 100%. Like, it's like, I don't want green beans with this. Like, I just don't. I wanted something kind of mellow and maybe a little heavy and something that felt like a carb. And there are such good mashed cauliflower recipes out there that are substitutes for mashed potatoes. I personally like this one. It'll be posted under posts, Eat Your Feelings at AdamCarolla.com. And it really is just boiled riced cauliflower, and you fold in cream cheese, and it's nice and it's fluffy and it's kind of dense too, and it really feels satisfying, like you're eating a carb with your chicken.
Yeah, the texture is really out of this world on it. So it's really, it's just you like, you go to Trader Joe's and you get the pre.
I don't do it myself. Everybody sells bagged riced cauliflower, riced broccoli now. You can do whatever you want.
All right, walk me through it. Boil it.
You boil it just so it tenderizes a little, because otherwise it's just hard cauliflower.
It's just a vegetable.
Then you got to use my favorite kitchen ingredient. I'm telling you, if you don't, you're going to ruin this.
If you say love, I'll fire your fucking ass right now.
Patience. No.
Tenderness.
Cheesecloth. You have to get and do it in small batches. So you're going to just spoon a little bit of the now cooked cauliflower onto a piece of cheesecloth. Take each end so it looks like kind of a bell and wring it out, because cauliflower holds a lot of water and you want it as dry as possible. So you're going to do that a few times until you got it all. Then you're just going to take some cream cheese, fold it in. If it's not melting quick enough, put it on the stove on low and just let it melt and let everything get really gooey. And the good thing about cauliflower, as opposed to mashed potatoes get gummy really quickly when you kind of lift your fork and it's just kind of like bloop, bloop. Cauliflower doesn't get gummy. It doesn't have a starch. So you can mash it as much as you want. You can stir it as much as you want. Make it the consistency you want. And it's easy. I add Parmesan, grated Parmesan. It's still mellow, but it gives it a little nice flavor and a little bit of garlic salt. But honestly, if you just want to do salt and butter, just treat it like potatoes.
Nice job. Well, and I think it's the cheesecloth that I feel like that's the equation that I need to. All right, Olga.
I'm glad you like it. Thank you, Butcher Box.
If you're listening.
I'll send her the recipe.
Please. I love that song. All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown, rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure, helps fight friction, and deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. Three times, fool! Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in a car's engine. Ben Bailey, he's the comedian and host of Cash Cab, is coming in here. I love that show. Everyone loves that show. He's got stand-up dates coming up. We're going to play Cash Cab with Ben Bailey, and we're lifting questions right off the actual show, right?
Yeah.
So we'll format it, we'll do it, and we'll do that right after this.
The holidays are fast approaching. You know what that means. It's time to eat, drink, and fight with your family. For a limited time only, we're offering custom-built crates, built by the hands of Adam Carolla himself, with maybe a little help from the lackeys, and Olga, and the twins. Head to CarollaChristmasCrate.com now to pre-order the perfect present for the holiday. What's included? A custom signed and built box from the Ace Man himself. A custom, if you're offended by Christmas, shirt. A signed Christmas card from Bald, Gina, and Ace. Two stemless Carolla drinks glasses. A bottle of each flavor of Mangria, a bottle of 33 Cabernet and Chardonnay, a Carolla Drinks ice mold, a Mangria tote bag, plus a Carolla Drinks wine stopper designed by Wolf Island Design Company. For a limited time only, this $300 value can be yours for only $200, and we'll eat the shipping cost. So for the Adam Carolla superfan and your family, head to CarollaChristmasCrate.com and pre-order now. And remember, if you're offended by Christmas, have some Mangria and shut the f*** up.